Welcome in Baltimore Sports Today, the daily podcast from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Today is March 19th, 2015. I am not Zach Will to the Baltimore Sports Report, but I am here with actual Baltimore Sports Report talent in the form of Patrick Guthrie and Jabby Burns. We're here today to do a bit of a March Madness preview, a Maryland Madness preview, if you will. We're going to break down some college basketball as far as this big dance is concerned. Maryland's role in it. Patrick, how are you feeling about your Terps?
I'm still not feeling good, Jake. I've been bitter since Sunday. I was at work when the brackets came out. I screamed a bunch of obscenities, very professionally, I might add, because I was wearing a button-down, so it counts as professional. I was really mad. I'm still not happy. I'm still getting over it. I feel like they were vastly underseeded, like most of America does. Jab, how do you feel? I'm very emotionally angry about this. Maybe you can be a little bit more rational than me.
Yeah, that's what I usually am known for, is being rational, too. I'm glad you pointed that out. I wasn't as upset as maybe you were, because I think you maybe overseeded them, and I think maybe some of the stuff from Saturday was still seeping through your body from Saturday after that Michigan State game, which you were doing an outstanding job on the BSR Twitter. If you want to follow Pat Guthrie, he'll be lighting it up maybe Friday, I hope, during the Terps game as well, because he really gives – if you want to know what's going on or the feeling of Terps fans, that's your guy there. I didn't think that they were a two-seed at any point, nor did I ever think that was going to happen, even if they won the Big Ten tournament, just because of the other teams. I think we kind of look at just our team, you know what I mean, and we kind of just focus on the Terps. But I did say I was surprised that they got the four-seed. I thought they would be probably the lowest three-seed. I was surprised, but I don't think it matters. The only thing that matters is that they're in the tournament for the first time in 5 years. Am I right, Patrick? Is it five or six?
It's 2015, and they were in 2009, 2010, I believe, was their last year. So, yeah, they're in, but being in doesn't count as much when you're in Kentucky's region. And explain this to me. If we were ranked, I believe, judging by the committee's rankings, we were 14th. Maryland was 14th, which means they were ranked as, I believe, the top four seed. How is the top four seed in Kentucky's region? Why can't we be anywhere else? Can we take Georgetown's four seed and go sit in Duke's region? I'd be thrilled with that. Like, that's the only thing. I would have taken a five seed, six seed, seven seed. Just do not put me in Kentucky's region.
That was the tough part when I saw that come out. I was wondering, they came out in the first time, you know what I mean? They came out right in that first region that comes out, and all of a sudden it's Kentucky, and they're going down the list, and all of a sudden you didn't have to wait long to see where the Terps were, which was the good part, you know what I mean? You found out that they were coming out very early. So I kind of like where they're at, Pat, to be honest with you. I like where they're playing. They don't have to go very far. I like the team they're playing in Valpo, and I actually like their second round matchup if they get by Valpo. I actually think Valpo is a tougher spot for them than West Virginia or my upset special, Buffalo. So I think it's pretty good. You're going to have to play Kentucky at some point. Somebody's going to have to slay that dragon, so why not be the Terps?
Jabby, I'm really interested to hear what you just said about Valpo, because a lot of the whining that's coming out of the Maryland fan base is about drawing Valpo as an opponent. As much as we say that Maryland has been underseeded, and I think that is the vast opinion of the country, I think there are a lot of people saying that Valpo is also underseeded, and if you're going to have an upset in the first round, this is one that people have circled on their brackets for something that we should look at. Do you think that this is a team that's being talked up too much, or do you think they're going to give the Terps trouble?
Whew, I don't know about trouble. I will say that they're going to give them a better game than maybe the odds makers opened up with. The odds makers opened the Terps as a 3.5-point favorite. That line has jumped to 5. I think a lot of the smart money, I guess you would call the sharps, will put the money on the Terps based on just, I think, the name on the chest more than the team that they've seen. Valpo can shoot it. Valpo can play good defense, and they can rebound. My thing is, I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with the Terps if the Terps can shoot, even if it's just the big three, and that's with Jake showing up as well. I think Trimble can – there's no guard on Valpo that can contain Trimble, let alone Dez, who I think Dez is an angry, angry individual after what happened in that Michigan State game. I think he comes out and actually has a really, really big opening game.
Well, Patrick, and to go back to something you said earlier, I want to talk about the loss only because I'm hoping to get you to swear. Is it possible that getting that loss out of the way in the conference tournament was actually better for Maryland in the fact that they're going to have to deal with this, they're going to have that fire in their belly, have to deal with that awful feeling before the conference or before the tournament even starts? They can get that out of the way, kind of get their feet wet, and then go in and be ready to have a good run.
Some people buy into that. I don't, because that probably was Maryland's most crippling loss of the season. I mean, the other losses that they've had, you go to Iowa, you get blown out. You go to Ohio State, you get blown out. You were never in either of those games to begin with. You play Virginia without Des Wells, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. Those other losses were really, I mean, they didn't hurt, really. I mean, you lose, but you kind of knew you were losing from in the first 5 minutes. Maryland had that game, really had that game, 16-point lead. Trimble comes out knocking down everything he's looking at, and you're just saying to yourself, I don't see how this could possibly go wrong. And that second half went about as wrong as it could possibly go. The ball was in Pack's hands and Smotrich's hands a lot down the stretch, which was confusing. I don't understand how you don't get the ball in the hands of your playmakers there. I can see how you kind of maybe if you're a Kentucky, kind of like you might, maybe you want to get that loss out of the way so you're not feeling that pressure down the stretch. That was a tough loss, man. Yeah. And that kind of puts a chink in their armor when it comes to this team was 11-0 in games decided under 6 points, and that was their thing. That's their big gimmick, is that they can win close games, and that's their best attribute. If you keep it close, there's a very good chance Maryland is going to win. And now there is that one in the loss column that maybe puts a little bit of doubt in them if the game gets close down the stretch.
I want to kind of focus in on what you were talking about, Patrick. I'm glad you pointed out that 11-0 thing. First of all, I think that is a great stat to have as a basketball team. But it also kind of points to what our boy Ken Pom has been saying from the mountaintops. And Ken Pom, if you don't know who he is, you should go to kenpom.com if you're into any college basketball before you fill your brackets out. The guy's got the whole thing adjusted. He's a metrics guy. I know Jake's into those kind of things. So here's the deal. He's number two. He's rated your Terps number two in luck factor. He's got a luck factor in his whole deal. And I know Maryland fans go bonkers when it comes to this whole deal. So do you believe in that theory with the 11-0, or is it a product of good free throw shooting, having the ball in your best player's hands at the end of games? And you know what? This time, maybe Michigan State just came back. I mean, I didn't feel like that was the kind of game that was a close game. I felt like one team got up, the second team came back, and then basically the Terps kind of crumbled down the stretch. I thought Sumatra had the ball in his hands way too much for me. I don't care how many – I almost want him to miss three so that Terps doesn't put him in the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I understand the whole Ken Pom thing. You want to rail it against it because you're – I mean, I'm a Maryland fan, and I'd like to believe that it is a product of good free throw shooting, and it is a product of good guard play. And to an extent, I believe that to be the case. But there's so many games this year, like the freaking Northwestern tip-in from Des Wells, the three from Des Wells to send it into overtime. Once you're getting down to that small of a margin of error, eventually things just aren't going to go your way. And I heard people complaining about the refs in that Michigan State game. I'm not going to do that. I thought the Smotrich flagrant was totally legitimate. Yeah. You know, the Des Wells block that he had that was called a foul. That's going to happen down the stretch. I mean, refs get tight too. They make tight calls. They can go either way. Maryland does have the skills necessary to pull out tight games, but you don't want to get in that spot 12 times in a year. I mean, the fact that they pulled it off, you know, 11 of 12 times is a minor miracle.
And especially in that game when Maryland was up by, I mean, at one point they were up by 16, you allow yourself to get into the position where the game is affected by a bad call. You can't complain about the other points that led to that closeness.
Exactly.
Now, you talked about the stats, and I love the fact that you bring in luck factor, because it's as if you're inside the conversation, every argument that we've ever had over at Bird's Eye View. But the numbers, to a certain degree, can tell just about any story that you want. You talk about that one that's now in the loss column. I mean, at this point, the Terps are 18-1 this season when taking the court as favorites. You can also say that the Terps have won 10 straight first-round games in the NCAA double tournament, of which they've been invited to. But there's lots of stats that you can put behind this team and say that it's, you know, it's going to happen. I think it's 87 or 88% of the ESPN bracket fillers have Maryland winning that first game. But all that aside, one thing that a lot of people talk about is, you know, court storming and things of that nature. College basketball is an emotional game. It's an emotional game for the people that are there. It's an emotional game for the people that are playing it. And you have to remember that these 18 to 22-year-old athletes are full of passion, are there, and that whole expression, act like you've been there, a lot of these guys haven't been there. Right. On both sides of the ball. And I think that is really what encapsulates the luck factor we talk about. Wacky things happen when all those factors get involved. I think as far as this game is concerned, you talked about guard play. Guard play is hugely important. Valpo has faced some serious adversity this year, losing some of their guards, and I wonder how the bench for Valpo is going to be able to compete with the bench for Maryland. And for those of us, like myself, who maybe am a baseball-first guy rather than Maryland basketball, can you tell us a little bit about what you're hoping to see from Maryland's bench? You know, of course it's the big three, but it's got to go deeper than that.
Absolutely. It's really, like you said, Valpo's biggest asset, at least in my opinion, the biggest advantage they have over Maryland is their size. They're bigger than Maryland. A lot of teams are kind of bigger than Maryland, especially off the bench, which means if Valpo's kind of playing a little bit of a slow-it-down style, Maryland got some phenomenal minutes from Michael Tchaikovsky against Wisconsin, who plays a very slow-down pace, kind of pounds it into the post to their big guys. And Tchaikovsky did a great job sticking his arms up in the air and really kind of frustrating the Big Ten player of the year and the possible national player of the year in Frank Kaminsky. He is kind of their ace in the hole there. I think Maryland has enough shooting as is. You know what you're expecting off the bench when it comes to shooting. Pack knocks one down every once in a while. It seems like Nickens in a big spot has been great for them knocking down threes. But in terms of matching up with height, if Tchaikovsky plays well and is able to not pick up fouls, which is something he's really prone to because he's not really fully integrated in the defense yet. He doesn't realize where he should be at certain times when somebody gives him a pick, doesn't realize when he should get back. He gets back a step late. If he's able to have a good game, stay out of foul trouble, give Maryland 20-something good minutes off the bench, I think that will be a nail in the coffin for Valpo, honestly, because their best player is a 6'9", a 6'9" shooter who can kind of get to the basket. Maryland has an ideal matchup for that in Jake Layman. So it's really, in my opinion, about negating their rebounding advantage. And Tchaikovsky, to answer your question, is the big guy off the bench for me.
Yep, and I'll say this too, Peters, and I think you're talking about Peters for Valpo, and he's the guy that you maybe have to watch out for. He's a little bit bigger, but I agree with you. Jake has done a great job. Jake's kind of started to get into that role, Pat, where he understands now he's just not going to get 25 a game. He's not going to get 20 a game, and if he gives you 15. But what I've liked about Jake in the last couple of games, and even the game against Michigan State where you got big guys in Dawson and Valentine and the big white kid, Costello, who's coming in there, and that kid Schilling, he was pretty big down there. He was getting boards, and that's the one thing I liked about Jake is he was getting involved. He needs to get involved in the games regardless if it's coming from scoring. He just doesn't look still confident to me that he wants to just pull up with that 15-footer. Just for some reason, he doesn't want to do it. He pump fakes, hits it back out to Mello. Maybe that's what the offense is going through. The guy that I'm looking at for the Terps, though, to make me give them something off the bench isn't Pack. It's Nickens. I feel like Nickens is a guy that can come off and hit some threes, and you're going to have to do that in this game against Valpo, and here's why. They rank 31st in defense efficiency, and that's another nerdy stat, but they're tough to score against. That's the one thing that you have to know. And now, maybe that's because a product of some of the teams they played, because I've seen Valpo play a couple times because I'm I'm just a dumb nerd, and I'll watch bad basketball till late in the evening. But I've seen them play, and I watched Valpo play against Wisconsin Green Bay in the game that they ended up coming back and winning to get in the GD tournament. They're not that great offensively. So maybe that product, maybe Patrick, and as I see your head go bobbing up and down, I'm guessing you're seeing that maybe Valpo's stats are a little inflated based on some of their competition.
That's my opinion. I mean, their Horizon League used to have Butler. Obviously, I believe it used to have Drake. A couple years ago, the Horizon League was a big deal, and you look at Valpo's schedule. They knocked off Murray State, I think was really their big win. They put up 90 on Murray State, but before Murray State went on a big winning streak, Murray State didn't end up making the tournament. They haven't played a lot of tournament caliber type of teams. It's just a matter of they're going to be facing by far the most athletic team I would think they've faced all year, even if it's just coming from Wells and Trimble,
right,
who I firmly believe is one of the three best backcourts in the country. It'll be interesting to see how they try and stay in front of Maryland's guards. And that's the reason why I think Maryland's going to pull this game out, is that I don't think you can't game plan for somebody who's that much quicker than you. You can kind of throw as many things as you want at them, but Wells and Trimble are going to figure it out, at least in my opinion, and hopefully allow Maryland to move on to the next round.
Now, not looking past Valpo by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's the consensus here that Maryland should probably move on to the next round. Yep. Let's take a look at this Midwest bracket that we're so lucky to have had Maryland placed into. There's that luck factor. Jabby, I don't want to say that you are into what the bookies have to say. I don't want to cast aspersions on you here, but looking into this bracket, how do you see this bracket working around Maryland?
you got the Kentucky NBA team right off the top, right? You got the team that since 91 UNLV, you puppies don't even remember that team because you guys were both infants. But that team was damn good, by the way. I mean, you got your Anderson Hunts, you had your Greg Anthony's, your just a team that nobody thought Larry Johnson, nobody thought could ever beat, right? And they ran into a team in Duke, and I don't know if you saw the Leitner 30 for 30, which was I thought was pretty great. I mean, as a basketball fan growing up that time, that was awesome. I think Kentucky moves along. And I would love to see Maryland beat Kentucky in the Sweet 16. I think Maryland's getting to the Sweet 16 because I think Maryland's not only beating Valpo, I think Maryland's going to knock off Buffalo, coached by Bob Hurley, because I like the matchup right there because I think Buffalo's going to upset West Virginia. Their best player, Slayton, is their point guard. Doesn't look like he's going to play. Even if he does, he's going to be hammered. So I really like that matchup a lot with Maryland. Even if they have to play West Virginia, I really like that spot for them. I think Maryland's in a really good spot to get to the Sweet 16. After that, to be honest with you, Jake, I think it's just you're going to have to play. Somebody's got to play Kentucky, like I said at the beginning of the show. Somebody's got to take them on, whether it's a Sweet 16. I think, Pat, and you tell me, is it a productive season for the Terps? I already think it is. That's my answer. But if they make it one round, let alone get to the Sweet 16, I think it's just, lights off the roof, basically, if they get to that and get to play Kentucky. And again, remember this, they're going to be playing with so much house money, they're going to be there in Sweet 16 playing Kentucky. That's the most watched game, no matter who the other matchups are. If you are looking at the bracket, everybody wants to see Kentucky. Somebody beat Kentucky. Maryland will be the first team that they're going to play, in my opinion, as they go down the stretch here, not count Kansas and things like that before the season, in the preseason games and things like that. I think that's the first team that maybe that can match up with them based on guard play.
I agree with you. It's honestly, and I agree with you on the second round game. I honestly think Valpo is probably the tougher matchup of the first two games. Yeah. If Maryland were to get through Valpo, you're right. If Statton doesn't play for West Virginia, you might as well throw it in for them. I mean, that's their best player. They're already not the most talented team. As much as I really think Bob Huggins is a little sleazy, judging by his reputation, he's a good coach. He coaches defense well. That team plays really tough. They're going to kind of grind it out with Maryland. I just don't know if they have the talent to do it. I also agree with you that I think Buffalo has a very good chance to knock them off. Buffalo likes to play up and down, big-time scoring team. Maryland can kind of hang with that. I agree that Valpo is a tougher game. And then once you get to the Sweet 16, it's really kind of surprising to me, and I don't know if it's just because obviously I'm, a big Maryland fan. Nobody is saying that Maryland can even give Kentucky a scare. Georgia gave Kentucky a scare. There are teams in the SEC who have Kentucky has been outplayed for halves at a time this year. Obviously not a whole game, or they would have lost. But they've trailed at halftime. I mean, they've been outplayed for halves at a time, and I feel like. Outside of Kansas, who they played early in the year, maybe one or two out-of-conference games that I don't have the schedule in front of me that I'm not looking at, Maryland is going to be the best team they've played in a while. You're right. Maryland has the better starting backcourt than Kentucky. I'm totally willing to say that. Kentucky's front court is a freaking nightmare. They're terrifying. So many things would need to go right for Maryland, which we can get into in a minute, but there is a puncher's chance. Like, if everything goes right, the talent is there for Maryland to really keep this game closer than the last 5 minutes, and then who knows?
Well, and that really goes back to, brackets never turn out chalk. That's why upsets happen. I can't think of too many years in which you get all four number ones going as far as you expect and the dominant team showing up. Every year there's something crazy that happens, and why shouldn't it be Maryland? The interesting thing to me is again, going back to the history, talked about it as the first time since 2010 that the Terps would have been in the tournament, but in their last four appearances, they did not get into the Sweet 16, and then before that, it was 2003 in which they lost in the Sweet 16 to Michigan State. Jabby asked the question before, is this a successful season if Maryland gets to the Sweet 16 and loses to Kentucky, obviously a fantastic team. Patrick, should we be preparing ourselves for patting ourselves on the back for that kind of season?
I don't want to say preparing yourselves for it because this team is too talented to say that. If it happened, if they get to the Sweet 16, if they lose to Kentucky, which if we're being honest with ourselves, yeah, I would say Kentucky wins that game 8 or 9 out of 10 times. Kentucky is a supremely, not only talented, but incredibly deep team.
Yeah.
Which means they can run five guys off the bench that would start at practically everyone ever, you know, every Division I school across the country. 8 or 9 out of 10 times, Kentucky's going to win that game. But Maryland is one of those teams that 1 out of 10 times, when everything goes right, when the big guys don't pick up foul trouble, when the guards are able to knock down shots, which I think won't be an issue.
Right.
You know, if they're able to really kind of empty the chambers and leave it all out on the table, there's a chance. The Sweet 16 would obviously be a success. Since I've gone to Maryland, I have not seen Maryland make the Sweet 16. I would love it if they made the Sweet 16. They're the higher seed in both games that they're going to play regardless. Yeah. So you would kind of hope they win those first two. I would call it a successful season, yes, if they got to the Sweet 16, definitely.
I think we've been grossly unfair to Hampton in this in this podcast. I mean, Kentucky has to get through Hampton before anything else happens. And, you know, wacky things happen all over the tournament. Wouldn't it be hysterical to see the first 16 over a 1 with Kentucky? I have another bracket.
I laugh because I love, but if Hampton beat Kentucky, it's bigger than anything that's ever happened in sports. I'm not kidding you. It is the biggest upset. Pat, would you back me up on this?
Biggest upset
in sports?
Yep.
Yeah.
That I can remember. Yeah. I can't remember an upset that would be that big. I fully expect. What is the line on that game? Like the line has got to be like 30, right?
I'm not into those kind of things, but I could probably look it up for you, and I'll let you know.
Okay, I know you're not into those things, but maybe talk to somebody who might know.
Jab is telling us that if he were into that kind of thing, smart money is on Hampton.
Yeah, well, remember, Hampton did win as a 9.5-point dog, which is the biggest spread in the play-in games to date. So they won as a 9.5-point dog as a flat-out winner against Manhattan, who, by the way, it would have been funny because the Manhattan coach actually coached for Calipari. So they had, people were all excited about that matchup happening, and then Hampton just blew the doors off of them. And you watch it. You watch, Jake. They're going to come out red hot on Thursday.
Well, I love the fact that you bring in that great tradition of the play-in game. I really think that we have a lot of things going for us.
We all agree that it's going to be tough for the Terps to get by Kentucky, I think, even or Hampton, as Jay pointed out. I think that's kind of where I don't know if you guys all have Kentucky making the Final Four in your brackets or if you're even doing brackets, because I think it's kind of passe at this point. But it's fine. I think all of us kind of agree Kentucky's one of the best teams we've seen in college basketball. Is there any other teams, Patrick, and you too, Jake, any other teams and these brackets here that you expect to kind of give Kentucky if Kentucky was to make it? Because I do. I have a team that I don't have Kentucky winning the whole thing. I'm one of those rubes out there. I just have a feeling that it's Frank the Tank's year. Yeah, I do. Is there any other teams from any of these other sides here? Patrick, you first, and I want Jake here in this as well. Is there anybody else maybe from the other side, the east side? Are you looking at a Villanova? Are you looking at a Duke situation? I have some underseeded teams. I actually have a team from the Big Ten making the Final Four as well. It's not named Maryland, but or Wisconsin. What says you, Pat?
Well, the team that I have winning the whole thing in pretty much every bracket that I've done is Arizona. Arizona, ton of talent, ton of athleticism, a lot of size in the front court. Caleb Tarzewski is a big guy with a ton of talent. They've got a senior point guard in TJ McConnell, which is huge, kind of a guy who he's G-Max not a big scorer. He's able to distribute, get everybody else involved. Everybody knows their roles on that team. Sean Miller's a great coach. I have them. They could really give Kentucky problems because they have the size to match up. They have the athleticism. The other side of the bracket, I don't know if Duke – I like Duke as an offensive team. They're a bad defensive team. Let's call a spade here.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, they have Okafor, which always, again, gives them a shot. But that plays right into Kentucky's hands. I mean, you got Karl Anthony Towns down low. You got Willie Cauley-Stein. Kentucky has bodies on bodies that they can throw it over for. So, no, I do not think Duke could give Kentucky a game as much as other people think they could.
Right.
Villanova is an interesting one. Villanova's really well-balanced, but the one thing that I will say about Villanova is kind of it's that Trimble kind of feral thing that they don't have, where if you really need a basket on Villanova, if you need a basket and somebody needs to clear out and get it, who's doing it?
Not Archibald.
Exactly. They can shoot, they can score inside, they can practically do everything you want. They're in my Final Four. That should say a lot about what I think about the chances. I just don't know if they have that dynamic ability to kind of just string together a run from somebody catching fire, like maybe a Kentucky does with one of the Harrison brothers, or Towns down low, or Okafor, etc. So yeah, the team that I really think could give them a run if they get there is Arizona. I think Arizona would beat Kentucky.
Yep, and that kid Brandon Ashley's back, who was not there with the team last year, and he's been huge for them. He's just another studded future NBAer that didn't play in the Wisconsin game last year in the Elite Eight game that got Wisconsin. It was just a fantastic Elite Eight game last year, and they could match up again. I just love Frank. After watching what they did to Michigan State, down six, I think it was, in the Big Ten final, you could just see, I want the ball. He hit a three. He came back down. The other kid that I really like, and I mentioned to you, Patrick, was Nigel Hayes. He might be the only brother that's on Wisconsin, but that dude can ball like crazy. I just love his athleticism. He kind of brings a different dimension to Wisconsin. And I think Bo Ryan maybe will just outcoach Sean Miller, who I think Sean Miller is an outstanding coach, and I wish at the time that the Terps got him. Yep. I'm glad that Turgeon's here, but you know, some things went on there. The one team that everyone always talks about, and maybe you want to chime in here, Jake, is Gonzaga. Everybody has this is Gonzaga's year. Well, I fell into the this is Gonzaga's year too many times for me. Jake, what's your vibe on Gonzaga? I know you watch a lot of West Coast basketball late at night. What says you about that? Or yes, any of the other teams that you maybe think besides Hampton that could make a run?
Well, I am a lonely, sad old man, and I do watch a lot of West Coast basketball. No, you're absolutely right about it being this year for Gonzaga every year. And it almost became like Gonzaga was the stand-in for the not Dukes of the world. You know. I won't buy into Gonzaga until they make me. You ask what else I had going on in the bracket. Look, this is about to get really personal here.
Okay.
As a proud alumnus of a Patriot League team, I of course have to look at where the Patriot League champion lands, and almost always it's in the 16 hole somewhere. So this year we have the Lafayette Leopards,
yes.
a clear dangerous team
of note,
playing Villanova. So what I'm going to look in for the bracket this year is how many points Lafayette gets beat by. I'm hoping it can just be under 15. And if that happens, I think as an AU
grad, that's a cover.
I'll be very good with that. That's basically what I'm looking forward to. I love not being an ACC team anymore, that we don't have to worry about the Dukes of the world until we get to this part of the season. It'll be interesting to me to see how UVA does. Just because looking from afar to see what they've done, it's, again, nice to see some stories out of the ACC that don't have anything to do with North Carolina. You mentioned Notre Dame before. Again, I'd like to see what UVA does in this particular tournament and see if they can build some momentum. I don't think they have enough to get there at the end. But, you know, some noise from ACC schools that aren't the usual suspects is always of interest to me.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that. And if you guys just want to give, you know, maybe just kind of give all the people that are listening, all like three or four of them that are going to kind of tune into this amazing show, what you think your final four is, and I'll just kind of go first and throw it out here. I've got Michigan State coming out of the East. I think
wow.
that I just like the way they play down the stretch. Tom Izzo, I just fall in love with him every tournament. Trice is just a guy that you can put the ball in his hands late in games. Dawson is just, I think, an NBA player once he gets to the next level, works on a shot a little bit. He's got that body. Valentine's a big shot guy, and I think they're just going to score enough to get by Virginia. And besides Virginia on that bottom bracket, I guess Oklahoma's the other team, but I've watched Oklahoma just piss away games all year long here, so I could see them losing somewhere to like Providence, or you know, Albany might even give them a little bit of run for their money there. They got a great guard in Buddy Hyde, but I just like where Michigan State's at. And if Michigan State matches up with Villanova, Patrick, to your point on Villanova, I think Villanova is a system team. I think that Villanova is almost like Virginia, but a little bit more talented in regards to being able to score the basket as opposed to it. Now, if Justin Anderson was playing full strength and Virginia, there's something about Virginia. They just don't score enough for me in this tournament. I know defense is big, but I just don't see that happening. So I got Michigan State coming out of the East. Out of the South, I have Iowa State. I've watched Iowa State play probably 10 times this year, and I said this to Zach, and his eyes rolled to the back of his head. I think Iowa State has got that team that they're down by 10, they're down by 15. It doesn't really matter with this team because they continue to run their stuff. They get up and down defensively and are not great. But I just don't think Duke is that great either. There's something about Duke that I'm just not in, and I'm not buying into the Zags this year either. So I had to go to the best team I thought out of that bracket there, and I like Iowa State there. And obviously I've got Kentucky on that other side, and then Wisconsin coming out on the West. I got Wisconsin beating Iowa State in the final. I don't know if CBS wants that, because I think CBS is going to want to see Kentucky, but what says you about it, Patrick? And again, I got the Terps making it to the Sweet 16 and then bowing out to the Wildcats.
In one bracket, Jab.
Is this your sheet of integrity?
This is the bracket that I did for work.
Okay.
The bracket that I did for work. I've got the Terps in the Final Four.
Yes, so does my son.
Losing losing to Arizona. And even as a Terps fan, I feel like if they beat Kentucky, that's going to take some sort of crazy Herculean effort to do that.
Right.
And it's a big reason, kind of like why I don't want to take Virginia. Similar to, you know, taking a Herculean effort for Maryland to beat Kentucky, Virginia relies so much on that pack line defense, and it takes so much energy to kind of fly around like that and to play that great defense that they do to kind of keep them in their identity. Usually during the regular season, you get a little bit of a longer break between games. You don't get this kind of barrage of great teams playing you over and over and over again. And it's just a matter of, I don't know if they'll have the legs, or if any team that they'll ever have will have the legs to win six straight games, putting forth that much effort on defense. So out of that region, I have Villanova coming out of that region. Out of the South, I totally agree with you. I have Iowa State. I love what Iowa State does. I love the way Fred Hoiberg runs the system. Guys love to play for him because he's kind of runs a free offensive system, allows them to make their own decisions. A lot of threes, attack the basket, ton of talent. They hung 59 on Oklahoma in half.
It's unbelievable.
For the basketball. We didn't really see them at their best when Maryland played them. They missed a bunch of shots. They were missing Jameel McKay, their huge big guy, which gives them a whole new facet to have somebody underneath to kind of challenge shots. I like them more than I like Duke. And with Gonzaga, just to chime in what we were mentioning before, I feel like with Gonzaga, when you're playing teams that aren't as talented as you, which Gonzaga routinely does in the West Coast Conference, you're going to see a lot of gimmicks. You're going to see a lot of traps. You're going to see a lot of maybe some 1-3-1 coming at you, different types of zones, et cetera. And I think it's got to be tough for Gonzaga to see a team that can just match up with a man. And I'm sure they rarely see that all year long, to see a team to say, all right, we're going to play you man because we can cover you.
Yep.
And that's a whole new challenge for Mark Few to have. And I really feel like that's, unless they get to a bigger conference, which they won't because they don't have a football team,
That's
going to always be a challenge for them no matter how talented their team is. So I have Iowa State coming out of that region. Like I said, I have Arizona coming out of their region. I have them beating Wisconsin. I like what Wisconsin does. I like that they have Travion Jackson back. That's big for them because I felt like Maryland was able to beat them because Maryland was simply more athletic from the guard spots.
Exactly.
And even from the wing spots, honestly. Mm-hmm. Decker's a pretty good athlete in his own right, but I just think Arizona's got such a talented team. I take them out of that region. I take Kentucky, unfortunately, out of the Midwest. they're just too freaking big. You see them when they spread their arms out on defense, and they're rolling like 3 6-10 guys deep.
Right.
How do you make passes? So I believe I have Arizona and Iowa State in the finals. And
so
I have
Arizona beating Kentucky, too. I like that.
Yep, I have Arizona beating Iowa State in the finals. That would be my final.
Let's talk
sleeper teams. I mean, we have our Final Fours. We have what we put down on paper. Everyone has something that they kind of second guess. You look at something and you're like, this could happen, but there's a reason this team is a higher seed. Maybe talk about that. Let's talk about a seed below a 5 seed, all right? How about maybe a seed below a 4 seed, Maryland seed actually, that could make kind of an Elite Eight run that you thought about it, you thought about it, you thought about it. It's not in your final bracket. Wouldn't surprise you, though.
Northern Iowa.
I got
Northern Iowa moving on to play Villanova, and it took me probably a good 6 minutes to really pencil in Nova. And I did it. You know how like you pencil it in, but you're kind of shaking as you're putting it in your bracket, or if at least you're a degenerate like me, you do that. And I really had a tough time because I wanted to put, you know, because you start off with, because I always write Nova on the thing, so it's already got N-O. So I could have been Northern Iowa. I could just put Iowa at the end of it. So I was just like, oh, I had a tough time. Northern Iowa is just a great team a fun team to watch. I got Seth Tuttle. No one knows who he is, but you will get to know him in the tournament coming up here. He's an NBA player. He's going to get to the next level. Just a great team. They play really well. They beat Wichita State in a game. Obviously, Wichita State got the other game back at their place, so they won the division. They won the bracket. But I would say this. I think Northern Iowa has a better chance to go deeper than Wichita State from the same conference. That's one team. The other team, and I know that it's not a high seed, and they're in the West, and if they weren't in the West, I might have them in my Final Four. I've watched Baylor. Baylor play a lot too. Maybe I'm a Big 12 mark, but Baylor's a really rugged team too. They got some guys that can get the rebound. They rebound better than anybody. The best offensive rebounding team in the nation. There's somebody that I could see make a small little run. But the thing is, they're gonna have to run into Arizona, and you know, Zach. I mean, Pat's already pointed out Arizona is the 91 UNLV Rebels, so you know, no chance we can get by them. But I really like Baylor. That would be the other team there. And if you're going from a higher seed, somebody like a 10 or somebody along those lines, looking at Wofford. I know that KenPom has their number one is the luck factor, so they're in the Maryland category. But Wofford won at NC State this year once. They play in Arkansas in a game that I think Arkansas has blown their load trying to beat Kentucky in the SEC championship. Don't be surprised if you see Wofford win that first-round game. And if they get that, then they play Carolina. And I've seen Carolina play a lot this year, and they're great. Everybody, some people are putting them in their Final Four. I think that they just play such horrendous defense, and they lose games late. I'm just saying there's going to be some 12 seed, some team in the bracket not named Kentucky in that bracket that's going to make a run, and maybe Wofford's that team for you.
All right, before we get out of here on that, I think there's one more important question that hasn't been asked here, and we really need to get some expert opinions here. Pat, let's just say the crazy happens. Maryland beats Kentucky. Can you comment on the rioting that you think will happen at College Park?
I've been there for some of those riots. I have inhaled some College Park tear gas. So, and that is not like a colloquialism. That is actually just police firing tear gas canisters in the crowds. Rioting, if they beat Kentucky, will be bananas. I'll be in Baltimore. I won't be in Baltimore for that game, but I'll be sure to riot on my own. Just call out of work, you know. Walk out into the streets of Hoboken screaming for a little while with my shirt off. But, yes, if they beat Kentucky, Route 1 will be stacked with police officers on horses, as it always is.
Yeah.
Well, we can always hope for that kind of level of civil disobedience. Patrick Guthrie, you are going to be watching the games, of course, but you're also going to be tweeting the games for BSR. But when you are not tweeting out of BSR, where can we reach you?
PatGut321 on Twitter. Baseball season coming up soon. Glad we got some baseball into this show.
Yeah.
Baseball season coming up soon. Always love baseball season, obviously. Hopefully my Mets will be a little bit better this year, so my attention might be a little bit diverted, but I obviously still follow the Orioles because I do an Orioles podcast every week.
Well, you can always hope to get Brian Mattis.
Yeah, well, I mean, dreams do come true sometimes, Jake. PatGut321 on Twitter for non-basketball things. And Friday, sure enough, as there will be a beer in my hand, there will also be a phone in my hand tweeting live on Baltimore Sports Reports Twitter.
I don't believe you, Patrick. One beer, that does not sound right. Jabby Burns, where can we find you outside of the bookie's office?
I will be, Thursday I'll be watching games, obviously, and then Friday I do my annual thing where us guys of a certain age think that they're 20. We get together, we call it Blackout Friday, and what we do is we start throwing bags outside. We watch games from noon till whenever the last game is played, play Desert Dice, a game of note, some other, you know, shenanigans that go on, and see who blacks out, and we write on their face. And it's kind of like a, you know, just like a fraternity, but we're all much older than we should be with kids. So we'll see how it goes this time. But I'll be watching all the games like Patrick. I'll be following Patrick along in the Terps at 4:40 on Friday. That's where my focus will be. I don't know how focused maybe I will be in the head, but I'll be watching that game focusedly. I think it'll be a fantastic. But again, this is a great time of year. And like Patrick pointed out, anytime you can get March Madness, you got to think about this. March Madness, if you're a baseball person like yourself, Jake, think about it. When March Madness going on, it goes leads you right into opening day, because the first game your Baltimore Orioles will be playing April 6th will be also the same day as a national championship, which Patrick is seeing Arizona beating the Kentucky Wildcats, I think, right? Or no, Iowa State.
Correct. Or Maryland beating Eastern Washington.
Absolutely.
Or Hampton. Or Hampton.
Yeah, your squad there as well. Jake's got Hampton and Lafayette in the final, which if you can pull that off, it would be outstanding. But yeah, you can find me at Jabby Burns, tweeting out all kinds of Orioles stuff. If we can get in some more nuggets, some Brian Mattis stuff and some other stuff as we're going. And as the rosters get closer, Jake, we can got to put together a 25-man roster here pretty soon.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. So for Baltimore Sports Today, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you tomorrow.